brought to you by Penguin.
Bourneville by Jonathan Coe. Read by Peter Caulfield and Cara Horgan. Prologue. March 2020. The arrivals hall at Vienna Airport was so quiet that Lorna had no difficulty picking her out, even though they had never met before. She had short brown hair and a boyish figure and brown eyes that lit up when Lorna peeped out from behind her gigantic instrument case and said, "Suzanne Wright." "Hello," Suzanne answered, stringing out the word in a sing-song way, and then, after a moment's hesitation, she drew Lorna into a welcoming hug. "We're still allowed to do this, aren't we?" "Of course we are. I'm so excited you're here at last." "Me too," said Lorna automatically, but it was true. "Good flight?" "Fine, not too busy. I've brought my car." She looked with sudden apprehension at the gleaming black flight case that contained Lorna's double bass and said, "I hope it's big enough." Outside it felt almost cold enough to snow, and the street lights cast sparse coronas of amber across the night air. As they walked to the car park, Suzanne asked more questions about the flight. "Did they check your temperature at the airport?" Asked Lorna if she was hungry. She wasn't, and explained some things about the arrangements for the next few days. Lorna and Mark would be staying in the same hotel, but he was flying in from Edinburgh and wouldn't arrive in Vienna until tomorrow morning. Their gig would start around 9 in the evening, and the next day they would take the train to Munich. "I can't come with you to the concerts in Germany," she said, "much as I would like to. The label just doesn't have the budget to pay for my travel. We're doing everything on a shoestring, which is why you're being picked up in this and not a stretch limo." She was talking about her own car, a 10-year-old Volvo estate covered with scratches and dents, which did not inspire Lorna with confidence. Nevertheless, it certainly seemed big enough for the job in hand. "This should be fine," Lorna said. But when she took a closer look inside the car, she saw an unexpected problem. There was a baby seat in the back, surrounded by all the detritus of someone from whom childcare was the number one priority. Wet wipes, food wrappers, plastic toys, soothers. But more worryingly, every remaining square inch seemed to be filled with rolls of toilet paper, plastic wrapped in packs of 9. She reckoned there was about 20 packs in there. "Sorry about these," said Suzanne. "Let me just... well, let's see what we can do." They began by trying to get the bass into the car through the boot lid, but it immediately encountered a solid wall of toilet rolls. Lorna took out about 9 or 10 packs and put them on the tarmac, but they still couldn't slide the neck of the bass through all the packs of toilet paper on the back seat. So then they took the top layer of rolls off the seat and stacked them by the side of the car, and between them managed to manoeuvre the bass deep inside, past the baby seat, so that its head was almost touching the windscreen and the boot lid would just about close. When they tried to pack all the toilet rolls around it, however, they wouldn't fit. "Maybe if we took the instrument out of the case," said Suzanne, "and filled the case with toilet paper." "No, I don't think that would work." Eventually, the problem was solved when Lorna sat in the passenger seat with the neck of the bass pressed up against her cheek, and Suzanne loaded 8 or 9 packs of toilet paper onto her lap in a tower which reached to the roof of the car. "Do you feel safe?" she asked anxiously as she began to drive along the almost empty roads leading towards the centre of Vienna. "Very," said Lorna. "They're like an airbag. If we crash into something, they'll probably save my life." "You don't look very comfortable. I'm so sorry." "Don't worry. I'm fine." After a moment or two, she said, "Look, it's kind of an obvious question, but why have you brought so much loo paper?" Suzanne glanced.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?